when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for the ones of you that have hung on, and hope you got your coffee and were able to go urinate, whatever he had to do to get back in time. But listen, Sister Nancy, the bell cow herself, has made a liar out of me. I told her, me and Rand said we're going to defer to calmer heads the second hour. But Sister Nancy said, hell no, she's fired up too. But anyway. People were transitioning. We're picking up Sister Nancy the Bell Cow and my baby sister, Monica Braveheart. So we're going to bring them in, and I'm just going to bring them in and out of the breaks. And old Rand's hanging off in the bushes. I don't know, but we might be able to bring him in. I don't know. But anyway, go ahead, Sister Nancy. Bring it, since you're the eldest. Bring you and Sister Braveheart in. I'm just going to lay back here and bring y'all in and out of the breaks. But go ahead. Tell us what we're going to do.
Okay, Eddie. Well, you were you didn't really get too explosive in the first hour, but I'm really fired up, extremely fired up about what is going on in Israel and with these evil satanic people, what they're doing to these these people who are behind bars and behind walls and cannot use public transport. It's only for the blessed Jews within Israel. I would like people to know more about the history of the occupation and how Israel became how Palestine became occupied by Israel. That, I think, is something that everybody ought to find out about. It's not very well covered. Most people probably haven't done the research, but it's just another story of taking land that didn't belong to them, creating hundreds of thousands of refugees. Most people, I would think, believe that these Jews have always been in so-called Israel, and that these Arabs are just encroaching upon their land and throwing rocks and stones and rockets at them for absolutely no reason. That's the way that I analyze the thinking of the propagandized American citizens. They really don't understand the history. They think that these Arabs are malicious, that they have no reason for attacking the beloved and gentle Jews. They're just malicious and terrorists. They're all terrorists. If they would only study the real founding of this satanic nation, a so-called nation of Israel, Palestine, they would have a better understanding of why these Arabs all over the Middle East are upset, and I'm very upset. I've protested years ago when they were invaded Gaza. It's probably 7 or 8 years ago. I protested with a group of people, and I'm carrying around my protest posters with me right now, looking for a suitable place to protest, just like Eddie is. But I want to pitch out one thing before we go to Monica. I would like to give a telephone number, and people who are listening to this program, please at least call the U.S. Capitol, call your representative, call any of these slime bags who represent us and want to go continuously, want to give more and more aid to the Jew-controlled Ukraine and this satanic country of Israel. Call the switchboard and ask to leave a message, or ask for your representative, or ask for any representative. My representative, Senator Mitch McConnell, I've called him. All you can do is just basically try to leave a message. I've even left a message for Senator Rand Paul, both of Kentucky, and both of them think that it's probably okay for these people in northern Gaza to be absolutely incinerated. All they're calling for really is a take. They want to move the settlers into the northern part of Gaza. Now that's my take on it. They want to demolish the northern part of Gaza and create land for the settlers. These violent, vile, mean and cruel settlers. But anyway, let me give you a telephone number, listeners, for the U.S. Capitol switchboard. It's 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And they can, they're quite, even I think on the weekends, and they can switch you into their office, which maybe all you can do is leave a message. If that's all you can do, that is something. So I just encourage people to at least complain and let people know that we're not going to sit by idly and allow this miserable country, which is supported with our taxes and our ammunition and our arms, to decimate these people in Gaza. I think that's what I'll start with.
You know, I'd like to chime in and say, before we go to Sister Braveheart, we need to do a 2 to 3 hour program on the formation of Israel and just how corrupt and violent it was. The people, the players in there, the communist Bolshevik Jews from the Soviet Union supplying them, the Germans forced to what they call the transfer agreement. That's a law. You need to read that if you can. A book of his last name was Black. I forget, he was a Jewish author, but he did a pretty good job. He tried to slant it too much for the Jews' favor, but he tells the nuts and bolts how the World Jewish Congress boycotted Germany 6 years before the shooting in World War II started. They boycotted them. They brought the miracle that Hitler had brought to Germany, the economic miracle, and they were bringing that to a screeching halt. So they made a deal. It was that or die. To get, they agree with them. They said the World Jewish Congress, they agree with them. They could let these stinking Jews leave Germany because Hitler and the Germans, well, they wanted them the hell out of Germany anyway. And they let them take all their riches with them. They even financed a trip to Palestine. Of course, they stabbed the Germans in the back, and they were supplied with all kinds of military aid from Stalin and his communists there. But we need to cover that. We need to do 2 or 3 hours on that. Also, to answer your question, Sister Nancy, why does people like Mitch McConnell, why do they keep stabbing their own people in the back? It's for fear of the Jew.
You're right.
Go ahead,
you're
Sister
right.
Braveheart.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, thank you. So just like the big lie and misperception that people have about how Israel was founded, like you say, Nancy, and, you know, the what they said about it is that, oh, it's a land without people for a people without land, which is just such a big lie. And so it is with the all the expulsions that the Jews have experienced over the millennia. Oh, they make it out like they're always the persecuted people. That's their forever story. Like, oh, poor us, we're so persecuted. No, that has been turned on its head. When the people figure out that they are being persecuted within their own lands, that within their own nations that they have built up, within their own civilization, their own villages and towns, they are being persecuted by this alien group that turns into a chameleon among mm-hmm. them and takes all the positions of influence and power through insinuation and lies and cheating and whatnot. Then the people kick them out. So it's really the opposite is how they portray it. I just wanted to draw that parallel. But something I'd like to talk about today is the political prisoners. And we have many, many political prisoners. I would like to shine the light on a few in particular. It is very concerning. I mean, I'm not going to specifically talk about the J6ers, but just the other day I read an article that was a report from one of these men who has been locked up without trial, without anything. What is it going on 3 years now? A thousand days, exactly. And the conditions that those people are being held in is something that you I just could never, ever, ever in my life have imagined would be the conditions in, you know, a Western so-called civilized country that democracy. And oh, by the way, about that quote, that comes originally, what I've been led to know anyway, is Ezra Pound, the famous poet, said, democracy is Jew speak for country run by Jews. Eddie, you had mentioned it in the first hour.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. so I had told you about that, but that was Ezra Pound. And of course, he was made out to be, you know, insane or whatever. I don't know exactly what fate he faced, but of course, because he was awake and spoke about the Jews, that's what happened to him. But anyway, I'm really going down these rabbit trails, as you like to say. But some
join
of the political prisoners, sorry, go ahead.
I said join the club. My whole damn show is usually rabbit trails. My whole part, my first hour, rabbits run everywhere.
But yeah, I'd like to talk about a few different political prisoners, one being Leslie Borey, another being Marianne Wilfert. She is currently not in jail, but she's supposed to present herself at the gates of the enemy on October 23rd for another jail stint. She already had been in jail for, I can't remember exactly how long, I think a year and a half, and has been out. But what's going on with her daughter, her daughter's children? I know that we're coming up soon to a break, but I'd also like to just touch
play
on...
Now. The music's playing.
Okay,
now,
I
Sister
hear the
Braveheart.
Music. Okay, so we'll come back then to that.
Thank you, Sister Braveheart. Be right back, folks.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear precious Blood River Radio family, I want to thank you so much for keeping us on the air, because we say this just about every program. We could not keep on the air without your support, your financial, even if you can't use your name or anything like that, that's okay. Everybody can do something. Some people can help me go do a protest. Some people can write a check. Some people can do whatnot. You organize your own protest. But, you know, I'd like to say one thing, and I'll paraphrase what we talked about during the break. And our dear beloved Adolf Hitler said this, bless his heart, may he rest in heaven. When tyranny
rules.
The best people meet in prison. I would add tyranny, evil. I know I had it on my wall somewhere, but that's true. Anytime you have an evil tyranny like we have here in the United States of America, he said that the best people meet in prison, and I think that's been proved out by our political prisoners in Charlottesville, our political prisoners in Canada, our political prisoners in Germany, where our dear brother Alfred is in prison. Adolf Hitler has been proved right every single count. Go ahead, yeah. Sister Braveheart.
Yeah, Austria, where Philip Hassler is in prison, and I want to specifically bring up his name because I do believe that they are now seriously cutting off his correspondences. I know that I would have heard from him by now. I haven't heard from him in months. We had a very active letter writing correspondence. Now, technically, I should be receiving a response from the jail if that is the case, because that is what happened with regards to Matt Hale. I actually got my letter. I tried to write him again after it's been over a year that he's been cut off from all correspondences except immediate family members. And his dear mother has already died. And so he's got his brother. I'm not sure if he has more than one sibling. But anyway, I did get the letter back that I wrote to him with a notice from the jail guard. I mean, this is ridiculous that they're doing this to any political prisoners. And let's put this into context. Political prisoners are there for their words. They are not there for violent crimes. They are there for words that they have spoken, truth. And Eddie, like you say, when there is tyranny by the criminals, like the criminals are running the show, well, then it makes perfect sense that the good people meet behind bars. Mm-hmm. So anyway, with Philip Hassler, I have received no notice back. I have not received any correspondence from him. And I know that they were already limiting some of his correspondences. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think this is absolute uncalled. Like, it's just, why are they doing this? This is torture to, you know, first of all, they lock people up. It's completely unjust. It's completely criminal. The criminals are running the show. But then they cut off letters from friends. This really enrages me. And, you know, I mean, things are really heating up right now. And there are many political prisoners behind bars. Something that some people are saying, and it just irks me, is, oh, well, we should just make sure we learn what the laws are, what we can say and what we can't say, so that we don't go to jail. And I say, what?
Oh, rubbish. Oh, my
what?
God.
Listen, first of all, that would be an abandonment of those who are already behind bars, that, oh, the rest of us just cower in a corner and get all, you know, wimpy and scared. And secondly, I would say, now, do these blots of toner on paper, do they actually change what happened in the past? Do they actually make something that didn't happen or vice versa? Do they actually change the course of history in the past? Like, do they change history? These laws, these completely illegitimate ink that they put on paper that they call laws, that you are not allowed to say this and you're not allowed to say that, does that actually change the facts? No, of course not. So if we willingly, voluntarily stop talking about it because there are these blots of toner on paper, because we might be afraid that they're going to come knocking on our door and send us to jail, well, then we are already enslaved. We are already in jail, enslaved by their chains.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
It makes me sick, actually, to see people say things like that. People amongst our, you know, truth-telling people.
How crazy.
Yeah.
Coward.
Anyway, I just had to get that out. It makes me steaming mad to see that kind of thing.
And it should. It shows that you have morals, that you have integrity, that you're a good person. Because it shows that you have the courage, you have the guts to speak up. You know, just I'll throw another side out there. Talk to Tamara Goodwin. Hadn't been that long ago. Her son, Jacob Goodwin, in prison in Charlottesville. He's one of the Charlottesville prisoners from the Battle of Charlottesville. I was talking to Sister Braveheart about this the other day. They have hot water only. He said they can't take a shower because the water is steaming hot. It scalds you in the shower. They can't get they can't get enough hardly. They barely get enough water to drink. And what it is, it's hot. It's just another form of torture to these guys. And it's like Sister Braveheart mentioned our January 6th prisoners being in jail for over 1,000. One of them was highlighted. One of the prisoners highlighted said he'd been there over 1,000 days without a trial, without a hearing, without habeas corpus, without anything.
He was stuck in the hole without fresh air for how many months? I was just shocked to read that, because there is some kind of I was led to believe some kind of an international covenant or whatever. I mean, obviously they just make things up as they go, that all prisoners are supposed to be getting an hour of fresh air a day, no matter what no matter if they're being kept in solitary or not. Of course, these rules are broken all the time. They mean nothing. And this is in the United States of America. And in Canada, the same thing. Leslie Borey, in his earlier letters, he was writing about some of the conditions. I was just about falling off my chair when I read the conditions that he was under. Also, he had maybe 20 minutes of air in a given, 2-week period. And this went on and on like that. And it's like, what? This is unheard of. But this, and we used to think, don't go to jail. Don't let yourself go to jail in Mexico or some third world country, because conditions are going to be really bad. Are you kidding me? Canada and the United States of America apparently have some of the worst conditions anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just outrageous.
You know why?
So Leslie, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Because they're run by the poisoners of the well. They run by the damn Jews. And if you're white and you're even, if you're white, or God forbid, if you're professing Christian, your life is going to be made a miserable hell. That's what they do. That's anything that the Jews run, like Abu Ghraib, the Jews ran that. The torture the Jews inflict upon people is just, you can't even think of that. That's why, Sister Braveheart, people can challenge me on that if you want to, but anywhere a Jew is controlling things, it's just going to be, well, that's what Satan does. That's what their father, the devil, does. But go ahead.
So, I know that Paul Fromm is coming on in the third hour, and perhaps we can talk more about Leslie Borey's situation then. But somebody that other people do not know about, but I am in personal contact with her, is Marianne Wilfert, Marianne Wilfert in Germany. And like I say, she's been in jail, and now she is threatened with having to go back. Not just threatened, it's a sentence, and they'll surely come pick her up, just like they did with Alfred and others who, they tell them to show up by a certain date to present themselves. And this time for her, I think it's an 18-month or maybe it's 2.5 years. I'm not clear on that. But again, it's just for telling the truth about what the Jews are doing and what they have been doing in Germany and elsewhere. So it's just for words. Again, she's not a violent person. She's not done anything violent. Not like so many of these invaders who have been let into the wide open gates, So she has a daughter, Simone, who has 4 children. So these are the grandchildren of Marianne. Now, her daughter has been very busy raising a family and has never spoken publicly about these, history and political things. However, when her babies were born, she was very aware about the dangers of vaccines. She was anti-vax, and so she didn't get her children vaccinated at all. And this is way pre-COVID. So it's just that, okay, she's already on the radar because these vaccines have been pushed on people everywhere, particularly in white countries, I would say. But anyway, so now, okay, so Simone is no longer with her husband. That they went through a divorce. The authorities came, and I can hear the music, but I'll continue after the break.
Sure. Hang on, dear Blood River Radio family, and we'll be right back to Sister Braveheart.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. The first shipment of emergency aid to Gaza since the war between Israel and Hamas began rolled through a border crossing between Egypt and Gaza today. Desperately needed food, water, and medicine was brought in by truck after sitting near the crossing for days, hoping to enter after Israel blockaded the territory and launched waves of airstrikes. Palestinians have been rationing food and drinking filthy water from wells while hospitals run low on medicine and fuel for emergency generators. The Israeli government warns its people against traveling to Egypt and Jordan and that those already there should leave immediately due to threats of harm against Israelis and Jews. Israel has also increased its warning for Morocco, telling Israelis to avoid all non-essential travel to the North African country and all Muslim nations. Palestinian militant group Hamas has released two American hostages.
Obviously a huge sigh of relief and at the same time concerned that there's so many more hostages.
Family member Martin Fletcher spoke on their release. Hamas cited humanitarian reasons for allowing the American mother and her teenage daughter from Chicago to go free as the mother is in poor health. The U.S. is advocating for the release of all hostages held captive by Hamas.
Over the coming hours, they'll receive any support and assistance they need. And, of course, we're very anxious to be able to reunite them with their loved ones. We welcome their release. We share in the relief that their families, friends, and loved ones are feeling.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken said another 10 Americans are unaccounted for, and it is suspected that some may be among the roughly 200 hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. Former President Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen says he'll return to New York next week to testify in a civil fraud trial. He's scheduled to testify on Tuesday. A judge has ruled that Trump and his businesses committed fraud by falsely inflating and deflating the value of its assets in order to lower taxes and receive better insurance coverage. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Dear Blood River Radio fam, we're going to go right back without any delay at all to Sister Braveheart. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Okay, I'm just going to cut to the chase here. What happened with this, the daughter of a political prisoner in Germany, because she might share the same views as her mother. So they took away all four of these children from the mother. I think they were ranging in age from about 4 to 13, something like that, or 6 to 13. Like, this is, you know, kids very, that, I mean, at any age they're vulnerable, but this is just like devastating. And she was a real good mom. Like, she stayed home with her kids and was raising them. And I mean, the fact that she cared enough to know that vaccines were bad and resisted the pressure and all those things, right? Then, okay, so the kids were sent with a dad. Now, the father, he's not a nice dude. It turns out he's a gypsy who's posing as a Jew because Jews in Germany get all kinds of advantages. Hmm. And now the latest is that the eldest daughter, when Simone, that's Marianne's daughter, so the mother of the children, she got to go visit the children about a week ago for one of the girls had a birthday. So she got to go spend the weekend. Now, the eldest daughter told her mom that her father had sexually molested her. God. And so they went right to the hospital to verify this so that they have, it's not just, you know, her trickery to get her kids back or anything. So yes, it was verified. She was raped. And then they went straight to the police. And the police were very sympathetic and favorable. And it looked like things were going to happen. These kids were, I'm not sure if all four or just the one. I think all four, they were going to be taken from the dad and put back in her care. But then they had handed the case over to the neighboring state, to the Bavaria, because she was right on the boundary between Bavaria and the neighboring state, whose name I've forgotten now. And when they handed this case back to the Bavarian police, they suddenly turned on this decision and said, oh, no, it's not so serious. No, the kids are, like, they're going back. Like, they're not going home with the mother.
Oh, my God.
It is just so outrageous. It makes you throw up. It's
horrible.
Sickening. So now,
well, that's Talmudic.
It is Talmudic. This is Sodom and Gomorrah, when everything evil is being promoted and goodness is being basically squelched out. Mm-hmm. And it is so sick. I have no words. I'm going to hand it over to one of you to take it from here, and then I'll come back.
You know, it's a... Oh, go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Well, back on another little rabbit trail, I would like to present to the listeners a question. Have any of you heard from our esteemed leaders a possibility of a ceasefire that they would be bringing forward for the Ukrainian situation or for the situation in Gaza? And I can tell you the answer to that is hell no. We do not want a ceasefire. We are the big bullies on the block. We're making a lot of money from the sale of these of this ammunition and giving away, I guess, hundreds of thousands and maybe billions of dollars to these both these illegitimate nations. But my brother had done some research years ago on how the U.S. vetoes anything in the U.N. that comes up that would be detrimental to Israel. This has been going on for years. But more recently, this is how biased the U.S. is. We have a black female representative in the U.N. Security Council, and I think ours was the only country that voted against this resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza by Israel. And the reason we voted against it is because it did not state that Israel had the right to attack Gaza. In other words, it's satanic. In other words, we don't care if there's a ceasefire. We just want to make sure that we cover the butt of Israel, that all the crimes that they have committed were legitimate. We legitimize these crimes. And this has been going on for generations, of course, in the UN. But what I really like is I just don't think we've pushed for any kind of ceasefire in either one of these nations.
Well, hell no. You've nailed it. You're exactly right. And, you know, another reason there's no ceasefire is because they want, and they being the Jews that completely own the United States of America. We have a bunch of the worst whores in the Congress of the United States, and we have the worst NGOs, the non-governmental entities. They're all Jewish. The ones that aren't Jewish, and most of them, the big corporations are owned and controlled by Jews. The ones that are, they're just Shabbos goy whores to the Jews. And they completely run the United States. Every country in the world knows it. The Russians know it. The Germans know it. Everybody knows it. And so they want the Jew, his father, the sons of their father, the devil. They want everything that God ever created dead. They want the white race dead. They will not stop in their efforts until our bones are laying in the ground, and then that won't be enough for them. They want to defecate on our graves. They want to build slaughterhouses on our graves. I mean, just look, and you can see it. Every single statue, every single part of America, excuse me, of white culture, of white history, is being attacked. White people are being attacked. It should be clear as a Roman candle going off in a darkened coal mine. And I would like to say this again. The sorry evangelical Judeo-Christians, it's the same thing I've heard one preacher say, and I agree, saying you're a Judeo-Christian is the same thing as saying I'm a virgin whore. In fact, the virgin whores have a lot more honor. These whores walking the street of New Orleans have a much more honor than you Judeo-Christian backstabbing Judas goat bastards. You know, they want the white people dead. And here's, I'm going to say this one more time. I know I repeat myself a lot. I know that the Marines are being attacked over there in the Middle East, so to speak. What the hell are you stupid Marines doing out of this first place? What the hell are you stupid sailors doing over there? Don't say you join. You don't have to do that. And I will say this one more time. I hope, God forbid, that there's another attack on another ship over there, another false flag like the Liberty to make it look like it's Hamas. I just hope that the casualties are sons of these Judeo Christian bastards, and I hope they put their guts, the eyeballs, the leg, a leg here, a gonad there, and put them together and dump them fresh, wet, when they're fresh wet, on the steps of places like Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, or these other churches, and say, here's your sons and daughters. Come get them and find them if you can. And we don't give a damn what you think. We don't care about your sorrow and your money, because we know you're gods and your masters. We know that you don't worship Jesus Christ. You worship us stinking Jews. That's who you worship. And we hate your guts. And we hate you even more because you love us.
Right.
Well, you know, and I don't mean to go off on that rabbit trail, but go ahead, back to you.
Just what's going on in Gaza, to me, as I think I expressed that last Saturday in my rant, that the fact is probably most likely they want to take over the northern part of Gaza by completely flattening it, or maybe they'll occupy the homes that are left with these violent settlers who actually go out and indiscriminately kill these Palestinians in the lands that were once theirs. But what really gets me is this no-good fool who is our so-called president, and he wants to send more money to both of these countries, Ukraine, headed up by Jews, and a very corrupt country, wants to send more money to Israel so they can kill more Palestinians. And of course, they've taken down, I think, the Greek Orthodox Church recently. The Jews have bombed it within Gaza. Now, they're sending these about a million people. They're running them out of northern Gaza, sending them down to the southern part of Gaza, which is a very small, it's only about the size of Washington, D.C. When they get down there, our beloved president is going to give them humanitarian aid. Isn't that a little bit late? Humanitarian aid, after they say today 13,000 have been injured, 4,000 have been killed, and as we speak, thousands more are being bombed by our stupid fools who love war. Now, they're sending to Rafah, to the Rafah Gate, which is the only way they can get out, and we are sending aid to Egypt to keep them back there locked in. There's a reason why they are not going to take them, because they'll never be allowed back into the land.
Sister Nancy, we got to go to a break. This will be our last break of the second hour. Be right back, dear people. Be right back. We'll go back to Sister Braveheart.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare, the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries, and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I have a question to ask. We talked about during the break, and then Sister Nancy wants to chime in, but I was going to ask Sister Braveheart. I said, you know, these so-called Southern Baptist friends of mine, we have doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, all some of them are very intelligent, and I don't know why. Dear Lord, why can't they see the truth that we show them scriptures out of their own Bibles, out of the King James Bible? You show them the news. You show them history of Palestine. Show them all this evidence about how evil these Jews are, about how the horrible torture that everybody in the whole world has to suffer anytime Jews get control, how the prisoners get suffer when the Jews get control of the prisoners, how the Palestinians are going through hell now. Why can't they see that? And now Sister Braveheart is going to answer that. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Well, I wish I could answer that, but it is a question that obsesses me. I truly am obsessed with this, and maybe I have family members to thank for that. I'm not talking about Alfred, my brother, who is in jail, another political prisoner. I'm talking about other family members who, they grew up in the same family. They're, you know, we're reasonably intelligent people. And they do not get it. And I was saying during the break that there, it really is a spell that has been cast by generations worth of not just lies and deceptions, but there's also like a physical reality to the attack. You know, the television puts out a certain frequency that puts the brain into a different state so that it becomes this passive receptacle for whatever is coming at it. And when we can say that having a television in your home is like having a Jew in your living room, because these are the folks who are largely responsible for the programming, and listen to the language of that, the programming. That's what they call, you know, the TV program. I remember we used to look at the TV program. Well, they're programming the mind. And then there's also the degeneration, you know, the cultural degeneration and the demoralization that happens through that. And then there's just so many factors that are involved in this process of demoralization that Yuri Betsmanov spoke of so well. And that was in the 80s that he spoke about that. And he said that America astounded him how far down that road already America had gone of demoralization. And now it's what, another 40 years later after he was speaking about it. And he said that when it has reached that point of total demoralization, you can lead the people by the hand, show them the physical facts, actually show it, have them touch the physical facts, and they will still not get it until, and he said this, until the boot is across the neck. Literally, the boot is on the neck. Now, this is when the boot is across the neck. We are in unbelievable times right now where things are speeding up. Things are getting very uncomfortable. Everybody is being affected one way or another. And it's not just far away that there's a war in Ukraine, Israel, and, you know, there's a lot of violence going on. But everybody in their own neighborhood is affected now in one way or another, or everybody knows somebody who has died right after they've gotten the jab or have been seriously injured. So this is when the boot does come across the neck. And I think a lot of people have rattled awake. This is our hope, is that the people will actually, in a critical mass, come out of their slumber. And I'll hand it back to you.
Sister Braveheart, was that Alexander Solzhenitsyn that made that statement you're talking about? I missed that part.
Oh, I was talking about Yuri Betsmenov.
And Yuri Betsmenov, okay.
KGB defector.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question to ask Sister Nancy.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry I missed that. I'm sorry, Mr. But thank you so much. Sister Nancy, I have a question to ask, ask you and cover wherever you want. You know, we have the United States of America has sent, since I don't know when, probably since World War II, they've sent not one, but they sent two carrier battle groups over to the Mediterranean, and they're knowing full well that the Red Chinese have warships there. I've heard up to six warships, the Red Chinese. So we're risking all-out, total destructive world war over the damn Jews. They didn't even do that with Ukraine. I don't think anything like that's been done since the Second World War. So I'm asking, Sister Nancy, do you think these Judeo-Christians in these Shabbos Goy politicians in the Capitol building, are they willing, are they really willing to disintegrate the whole world, to turn it into a cinder and kill every living thing on earth? Are they willing to do that to protect Israel and the Holy Jew? Are they, Sister Nancy?
Eddie, all you have to do is listen to their lockstep words and also the journalist. Everyone is totally, teetotally supportive of Israel. There's a tiny, tiny little voice in the wilderness of our politicians who would even have the courage to speak up. Yes, they will risk our lives, their lives, the life of this country, the life of the world, to support the almighty, beloved, wonderful, blessed Jew. I believe it. I do believe it. I think that they're pushing the button and hoping that they can, what they really hope to do is destroy Jews' enemies. But in so doing, they may destroy us as well.
Nancy, how many of these politicians do you think are Freemasons?
Probably quite a few of them. That's pretty common. Yeah.
And
I was going to bring up something about Canada that will, you probably read this. American Free Press, the latest issue. This is kind of, it says no evidence. You probably read this. After 2 years of horror stories about the alleged mass graves of Indigenous children buried at residential schools across Canada, recent excavations at suspected sites have turned up no evidence of human remains, reports the New York Post.
Yeah,
well, they had
not found
supposedly hundreds and hundreds of dead that had been killed by the Catholics, I guess, or by the religious orders.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. This is Canada's Holocaust, okay? And so by that, I am making that comparison very deliberately. This is Canada's Holocaust, because the Jewish Holocaust, we all know the real story, that there were no gas chambers. And in Canada's Holocaust, there have been no bones unearthed in these supposed, well, at first they made it sound like mass graves. And even just the way they still talk about it, they say unmarked graves, but sometimes they twist it like it makes it come across sort of like mass graves, you know, and they still really go hard on this narrative. And I watched a video with the Kamloops mayor, the Kamloops chief of the Indian reserve there being interviewed, or the journalist was trying to interview her. Oh my goodness, I've never seen such a weaselly person trying to get out of these questions, and you could see she was clearly uncomfortable with this journalist trying to ask simple questions about these supposed graves, and they haven't turned up any. It's unbelievable. But, you know, okay, we were talking before, during the break, about this. And is it because the Jews love the Indians so much that they are making like they want to give the land back to them? Because that's what they're doing all the time.
No,
See, the Indians, we need to work with them and educate them about the fact that this is just an anti-whitey agenda, and they are not going to have any advantage to this once they have, if they succeed with dispossessing us of our lands, as if they are going to just be so kind to the Indians. No, they are going to be far worse off, let me tell you, because what good, for example, will it do for the Indians when they open the gates for letting in the whole third world into the country and let our civilization basically be collapsed? Do you really think that the Indians are going to do well under that system? No, I don't. I hardly think so. This is about anti-white hatred. This is about dispossessing the white man of our lands. And that's what this is about, this whole agenda. So they're, you know, making like they're well, I mean, most people don't understand who's behind all this.
We can kind of relate that to what they're doing with the blacks.
Yes.
They are creating this animosity, which they're going back to days of slavery and lynchings, and trying to dig up anything they can against us, so that that they can call that a black Holocaust, I guess.
Yeah, and they're asking for reparations, aren't they?
sure, of course. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Sister Braveheart,
right.
I have another question.
Yes.
How many of these Indians that the Jews are so worried about in Canada, how many of these Jews have given their daughters in marriage to these Indians? How many of those Indian children have they brought into their homes and adopted them and given them all the privileges of being a Jew?
For the listeners, if you're thinking, well, wait a minute, what do the Jews have to do with all this? Like, they don't directly come out and say, we Jews would like to, you know, the Indians to do better. And you know, but we know that the media, the mainstream media, the mass media is all owned and controlled by the Jews, the ones who are in a war against us. And so that's how that connection comes. But of course, Eddie, you're absolutely right. No, they are not exactly opening their homes.
You know, if you want to stir it up, call some of these Cooperia Jew schools and ask them, how many black children do you have there? You know, 2 years ago when I was running by this elite United Methodist Church, you're talking about Jew, they're second only to the Southern Baptists. They just worship Jews and they worship blacks. But it's a very elite school, and I'm going by there, my both jogging shorts. It was hot, I had my shirt off, and they're probably thinking, "Who is this old lunatic?" And I said, "Where are all the black children? All the parents, they line up. They're for like 400 yard long line of automobiles with the air conditioning running. Of course, they're all worried about the ozone, you know." And I said, "Where are all the black children? I don't see any black children." And honest to God, I did this. The only person laughing his butt off was a black security guard. He was hearing me. And I directly challenged some of these people. I said, dear lady, this looks like white privilege to me. I see no black children. Why? Mm-hmm. Is the tuition too high? Couldn't you lower the tuition? Couldn't you lower your standards? I just don't think I can live with all this white supremacy. And that's what we have to do. We have to... You know what? You single them out, their hypocrisy, but it bounces off of them. I mean, I don't know how much good it did, but I had to get that out of my system. I don't know how I got off on that. But
Great. Was that a Jewish school, Eddie?
This was the next best thing to a Jewish school. It was a United Methodist in a very elite area in Memphis. Very elite. But I intend to take this flag and tape it. Well, maybe I shouldn't say on the air, but the Sister Nancy gave me a Palestinian flag. I want to hang it to the Cooper Yeshiva School here in Memphis. And I'm sure they'll appreciate it. Folks, we got to get transitioned to the third hour, and we got to pick up our brother Paul Fromm if he's back in from the protest. So he's going to come in, and he's going to be going back and forth with Sister Nancy because they're both Canadian. Excuse me, Sister Braveheart. They're both Canadians. They're going. And, anyway, be right back, folks.